Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the kingdom of God, and we're talking about those who seek it, which are often called lunatics and fools, because they speak the truth. They want to see the truth. They want to understand the truth. They don't want to pretend to be the truth. They don't want to pretend to be saved. They want to actually know. And what makes you decide you want to actually know? Did you decide that in your head? Up here in the brain, in the screen of your mind, you said, I want to know. Everybody says they want to know the truth. Actually, they don't all. I've run across people who say they don't want to know the truth. They've actually said, I know what you're saying is true, but I don't want to hear it. I don't want to go that way. It's too uncomfortable. They weren't in love with the truth. And the fact is almost every one of you is not really passionately in love with the truth. You want some truth, but I will guarantee every one of you will come to a point of truth that you do not want to receive. And hopefully in time, you will repent of that and seek that truth too. Because you have to accept the whole truth. You know, you can't bring that lie in here. You have to let go of the lie, and that takes a lot of humility. A lot of people just don't have that. So in the last show, we were talking about a lot of things. The fact that the Bible is about government. We were talking about the fact that Paul was taking a vow, not an oath, a vow. And that Jesus talked about vows over 36 times in the Bible. But they don't translate a vow, they translate a prayer. And the reason why I say he talks about vow is the word that he uses is considered a synonym for the word they translate into vow. Problem is that you have different meanings for the word vow than UK. If you look up the word vow, a lot of times people say a vow is a promise. A vow is not necessarily a promise. It's not an oath. An oath is a promise, but an oath is a promise under the penalties of perjury. Somebody can punish you if they think what you said under oath is not true. But a vow doesn't give anybody the right to punish you. One thing you'll find is a vow is always to God. A vow is a statement, a solemn statement. That's what a vow is. A prayer is a solemn statement. There are prayers that are intercessory, and there are prayers that are requests, and there are prayers, lots of different kinds of prayers, which is why there are 8 different words translated into prayer in the Bible. But a vow prayer is a statement. Jesus is Lord. That's a vow. If you mean it, it's a statement. That if you come all into one accord, agreeing that Jesus is your Lord, that's a vow. That's a prayer. That's a statement. If you say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that's a vow. As the word was used in the New Testament, in Acts, and in James, UK. And then there are other words that they add on to that. You know, like I said, that let's look at some of the words that are also translated into prayer that are not UK. Domai, which is translated pray, and means to want, to lack, to desire, to long for. Or the word desis, translated prayer, and is defined need, indigent, want, privation, and appears with other words meaning pray quite a few times. You can see it in Ephesians 6:18, praying. That word is prosukomai, which has the UK in it, in the middle of it. Always with all prayer. So it says praying with all prayer, which is the word prosuke. Same word, uke, is in there again. And supplication. Well, the word supplication is desis, which is also translated prayer. So it wouldn't make sense to say praying always with all prayer and prayer. So they had to put in the word supplication. But other places where you don't have a word prayer already in the text, they will just translate supplication as prayer. And you won't know that if you don't have a good minister who's checked these things out. Now that doesn't make a lot of difference in your thinking, but if you start doing it in other places, it will. Because the word supplication that is translated prayer there has nothing to do with euke, which is this vow prayer. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, again the word supplication, for all the saints. And we see it in Acts 1:14. These are continued with one accord in prayer, prosuke, and supplication, desis, which is also translated prayer, with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And we see it in Ephesians 6:18, where it has both prosuke and desis, and Philippians 4, verse 6, and 1 Timothy 2:11, and 1 Timothy 5:5, and James 5:16. But in James 5:16, it's slightly different. It's not the word prosuke, it's the word ukomai, which appears twice in the text. And those don't always make a great deal of difference. But some of these other places, if you like translate horkos into vow, that word doesn't mean anything like uke. It's not even similar. It has to do with binding yourself to other men, where other men get to make choices for you, and you're no longer at liberty. You, even though you're endowed with the right to make choices, liberty, you've lost that liberty because you sold your birthright to make that choice for a pot of porridge, a pot of benefits, a pot of entitlements, or a lot of other things. So that word prosuke is translated prayer some 36 times. And prosukomai, which is the word pray, almost 90 times. They are both extensions of this word we see translated bow. The word euke is clearly not the same as the word horkos, more often translated oath, and in the King James always translated oath. But some people want to imagine that they can use these words interchangeably, and they simply are not. Or that they can apply to UK modern definitions of the word vow. They do truth and Christ a disservice. And if they continue this, they are bearing false witness about what Christ actually said and meant. We've seen how translations can translate 5 different words or 8 different words into the same English word. And at the bottom of this article on preparingyou.com on vows, we have a list of other articles we have, like the word world. 5 different words translated into the single English word world, and they don't all mean the same. They don't mean even close to the same, and none of them mean planet. Or the word religion, which used to mean what you did to fulfill your duty to your fellow man, and now it means what you think. Because you're not saved by works. You're saved by grace, so you don't have to do anything. Even though we are told that if we have faith, we will do. And if we're not doing, then our faith is dead. So we have a false faith, which is bearing false witness. It's taking the name of the Lord in vain. You see, you're not supposed to bear false witness, and you're not supposed to take the name of the Lord in vain. Aren't those the same thing? Absolutely. Ten Commandments are a little redundant. But that's okay. You know, I don't know anybody who has not stolen something from his neighbor that he didn't first covet it. So he's got two sins. See, it's a little redundant. If you can't covet, then you won't steal. Or how about the word gods? What does that mean? It means ruling judges, magistrates. It tells you that in the concordance, but you don't know that. Most people don't know that. They think gods are, you know, some pagan statue gods or the god. Or the word worship, or the word father. You don't know what the patronus is. Even though in your U.S. codes it says, parens patria, obey the father. And they have codes saying, obey the father, and they're talking about the state as your father. Who do you think Jesus was talking about when he said, call no man on earth father. But where are you supposed to pray? Where are you supposed to make your vow? To the fathers of the earth who require oaths? Or to your Father in heaven who requires none? Our Father who art in heaven, it doesn't say, I swear our Father who art in heaven. But it's a vow, it's a prayer, just the same. This playing with words, you know, I wrote a whole article, Sophistry in Language Land, Artifice in Language Land. Or the word Corbin. If you don't know it's a social security system, then you probably think your Corbin's okay. Or anarchism, which means without an exercising authority, which is what Christ said. Christ never used the word anarchism, but he said you are not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who exercise authority one over the other. Anarchism means you have no leader who can exercise authority. A republic is a place where the leaders are titular. They don't have the power to exercise authority. They cannot make laws for you. But you're not in the republic, you're in the democracy, and the democracy can. And unfortunately, it's an indirect democracy. But even if it was a direct democracy, you'd have the same results as long as your spirit is not that of Christ. And it is not. Or how about the word Nicolaitans, which is the same as the word Balaam, which means conquered people. And conquered by what? Conquered by your own greed, your own love of reward. Or baptism. Who knows that baptism was not something that John the Baptist invented? That Herod was already baptizing people by the thousands, but with a different spirit. Or the word capitalism. How many people know what that means? There hasn't been capitalism in the United States for 100 years. That's right. There is no capitalism of any consequence whatsoever being practiced in America for over 100 years. And the socialists are saying, how's that capitalism working out for you? What capitalism? Now, do you know what I mean when I say there is no capitalism? Do you know why I can say that and make that true? And show you that it's true. It's what we talked about in the last show. You can't have capitalism with debt notes. That's not capitalism. The means of production are not in your hands. You don't own it. You are owned. So anyway, that's gotten to be quite an extensive little article covering all the bases. If anybody wants to read it, you just go to preparingyou.com and do a search for vows, and it will open the article, and you'll get to see the oath of Horatai, which is this Greek thing where you all are under oaths, and your vows are sworn to, but not to the God of heaven, but to the gods of many of the earth. And those of you who have studied a little bit know exactly what I'm talking about. And those of you who are not, think I'm a lunatic and a fool. But I don't think you're righteous. So there. So you have to repent. You have to turn around. This is what Christ called you to do, but you don't even know where to turn to or what it looks like. And I could tell you that you gather together in small congregations in your local community and start taking care of one another. Start thinking of ways in which you can provide for one another. Start creating industry in your community that can help provide for you, and you can do this through the church. You won't do it through the church at first. You just have to start doing it together with each other. It's actually a combination of things, because you don't belong to the church. You belong to yourself, and this is what we're supposed to be doing at the church, is returning every man to his family and every man to his possessions. In the United States, you think you are free. We got the 4th of July coming up here soon, when this recording is being made anyway. But the reality is, you don't own your house. You don't own your car. You don't own your labor. And we can show you this right in the law. Law versus legal. Go look it up. You don't own your labor, and you don't own your children. And you say you're free? Are you kidding? The government owns all the land. You don't own it. You're renting it at a rather high price. Now, you don't want to accept that. I must be a lunatic. But if you actually read the articles, that was one of the things with this fellow, he's not reading. He's already, his brain is closed off. He's actually in a box, He actually thinks he's not in the box. He thinks he's free. I think he still claims that status. But he's actually in another box. Because if he was outside of that box, he would see that he's not free. And he's not doing things according to the ways of Christ. That he is actually a worker of iniquity. He's actually a foolish virgin. Because he's not gathering together in the name and the character of Christ. And so therefore Christ is not there in his midst. He says, wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in their midst. But he's not gathering. You know, he might have a couple of cronies that, you know, but that's not gathering in the kingdom. That's not seeking the kingdom. That's just seeking feel good with a small church. So anyway, we're going to look at a couple other things. I was going to also start this series on What About Bob? And I'm still taking notes and still following up. And what it is a lot of people are throwing out. And this fellow was doing the same thing. He was throwing out parroted verses that he doesn't even know what they mean in the context of the Bible. And part of that is poor translation. He was using a translation that was translating Hercos into oath. I mean, into vow instead of oath. And that's just not correct. I mean, it's just wrong, period. Even the King James got that right. And so you start doing that, and you do that a couple of times, and before you know it, you can start creating all kinds of doctrine, and that, of course, is what people are doing. And one of the quotes that people keep throwing out, the Bob group, is, you know, that we're saved by faith and not by works, and they're absolutely terrified of works. But if we look in the Bible, just do a word search on doeth. And it'll take you to lots of verses in the New Testament, if you're in the King James. It says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And remember, go back to that vow prayer of Christ. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. So these are statements. These are vows. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, but he that doeth the will of my Father. So you have to do that. And he's telling you that's the vow you have to take, to do it the will of the Father. You don't take it to me. You don't take it to, you know, President of the United States. You take it to God. This is between you and God. And you're going to fail. And God will forgive you if you're repentant in your heart and continue back on the path. Or how about Matthew 7:24? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Heareth and doeth. But now they say, you don't, just believe. Just believe. When Paul was saying that, he was talking about and to people who were doing them. He wasn't talking to you. You haven't been doing them. I will liken them unto the wise man which built his house upon the rock, because they are doers. Matthew 7:26. We ought to read 25 in between. It says, and the rain descendeth, and the flood blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And then he concludes, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. This is his doctrine. This is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. To be a doer. And not a hearer only. That is the doctrine of Jesus Christ. That did not change ever. Jesus knew what he was saying and what he was talking about. And he did not repent of what he said. And you need to not, well, you actually need to repent of what you thought he said. Because you have to be a doer and do what? Gather together in his name. To sacrifice yourself for the good of others, because you love others as much as you love yourself. And you're not doing that. It's all about feel good. So how do you do that? Are you becoming the social welfare system of your congregation? Are you becoming the social welfare system of your community? Are you being righteous in the ways of the Lord? Or are you just a hearer on Sunday or Sabbath, and then, you know, you sing a few songs and you think you've performed a service? You know, the health care that's coming up, the already have, where you have to pay for the education or the brainwashing of your neighbor's children. You have to pay and pay and pay and pay, and they're taken and taken and taken and taken because you rejected God already. That was in your recipe. I'll reject God, his ways, but then I'll do a kind of fancy church sidestep, and I'll save myself by what I think. And it just doesn't work that way. You have failed. You brought in damnable heresies. Matthew 8:9, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. No greater faith. He understood how the kingdom works. We don't exercise authority if you don't do it. Okay, no sweat. But we know what needs to be done, and we do it. Some of us. Some of us are still sitting on our hands wondering what's happening. We're starting a course on a special group in the website, and we've offered everybody an opportunity to get on that course, but they have to pick a contact point within the network and then get to know him enough so that he will put you on that group. And we will show you how the early church operated and how that relates to what the church should be doing today. And most churches aren't doing that. Of course, they don't need to do that because they aren't taking care of the needy of their society. They send them to the fathers of the earth who exercise authority to do that. And they should be ashamed because they're actually workers of iniquity, deceiving and leading the whole world into deception. And I just heard a Monsignor in the Vatican was arrested for banking violations of moving, $26 million from Switzerland to Italy in a private jet. And they caught him. And that's a crime. But there's all kinds of intrigue in the Vatican. Probably more. There could be an inside job setting him up to get rid of him. Maybe he was a moral man and he was beginning to change his spots, so they did him in. Wouldn't be the first time. There's corruption everywhere. Billions and billions and billions of these credit notes are disappearing and nobody investigates, nobody looks for them. Because thieves and robbers can break into your vault, because your vault is not the ways of the kingdom. It's not the ways of righteousness. It's not the ways of God. And you should be ashamed of yourself. And you should go another way. But people don't go that way. And so they end up being in bondage, entangled again in the elements of the world. So what my recommendation to you is to everybody get on the network, hisholychurch.org, or go to thelivingnetwork.org, thelivingnetwork.org, you can type that in, and join up in the local groups and start forming congregations of record, start coming to our feasts and festivals, start getting to know one another. Start contributing on a regular basis, not necessarily to me, although we could always use the help, but to your local congregations of record who will keep books on what he receives and what he does with what he receives. And start seeing if you can start becoming the government of God in a pure republic, where he does not exercise authority over you, but only over what you give him. This is the way Abraham, Moses, and all the free societies of mankind have operated. And that's what the church was. It was an alternative healthcare to the healthcare offered by Rome. It was an alternative welfare to the welfare that was offered by Rome. It was based on faith, hope, and charity, and it snared you with nothing but love. No oaths. No penalty of perjury in its vows. But the men had to come together and state that I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and I want to seek it with you, my brethren, so that we know where you stand. You stand under God because we're seeking the kingdom of God. But you understand him alone and together with us as brothers in Christ. And then your congregation should gather with other congregations so that you're seeking the kingdom and not just congregationalism. And we'll talk a little bit more about what you can do there when we return to the keys of the kingdom. After a brief word. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. I talked about the livingnetwork.org, which will actually take you to a page on preparing you, which I think we ought to dress up a little bit more with a little bit more welcoming graphics than what we have on there now. But it has the basics where you can join groups in the different states. And those are just email groups. But once you're on those email groups, you can pick another contact minister, what we call a PCM, personal contact minister. You license him to be your contact guy with the rest of the group. And he has access to groups that you do not have access to. Because if we put, 1,000 people on an email group, you can't have conversations with 1,000 people. It just gets, people are sending all kinds of stuff. So we filter that out by creating levels to the groups. And you pick your contact guy. And then so, right now we're organizing this course on the order group. And everybody is connecting. And you can't get on the order group unless you've picked a contact minister and you've gotten to know him. And how do you get to know him? He could live 100 miles away. I mean, he might be in the same state, but he might live a long ways away. So you don't get to see him every day. But you can call him up. He'll call you up and you talk to each other and maybe you get a chance to meet. And if he gets to know you and feel confident enough, he will help you get onto that group and then we'll start the course. You should be reading the other books and getting to know the material because it is so diametrically opposed to what you normally have been hearing in your schools for 100 years and even in your churches that it's going to take a little bit of a learning curve to figure out what's really going on and what you missed. But if you do that and you work together at that, you will begin to create the alternative system. An alternative money system is easy to create. Very easy to create. We have guys that are capable of making that happen right now. But you're not ready for that. Because you got to change first. You see, you can't change the course of the world by turning around in your state cabin. Like the ship is going towards the rocks, and so you stand up in your cabin and you turn to the right, or everybody goes over and leans on the right side of the boat. Even that isn't going to change the course of the ship. Somebody's got to actually turn the rudder, and people aren't doing that, and so therefore you go and elect somebody and nothing happens. It still gets worse. And so you get more active in politics. And it still gets worse. It's because the ship is going the wrong direction and you're on the wrong ship. You need to man the lifeboats. You need to head for the rock. You need to look for dry land. That's righteousness. Because you're all mixed up in the laws of the sea and the ways of the evil one. So you have to become that doer of the word. You can't get to where Paul was writing the churches because you put the word church outside the building you meet in on a sign. That doesn't make you a church. What makes you a church is that you conform to what Christ said to do. And you have to conform to his spirit. And that means you have to care about others as much as you care about yourself. So you have to gather together, not so that you can be free, but so that you can free others. You're not doing that. You're not caring. You're not sacrificing for the good of your neighbor and the well-being of your neighbor. You're not doing that yet. Not to any consequence. You have to stop playing church and start being church. Yes, churches should not incorporate to the state. But you would be better off incorporating to the state and taking care of one another in faith, hope, and charity than you would be by not incorporating and failing to take care of one another through faith, hope, and charity and become the social insurance of your congregation. Now, do you hear what I just said? That's going to be controversial in the minds of a lot of people. Your church would be better off incorporating under the authority of the state and becoming the social welfare system of those people who congregate in your church than it would be to not incorporate as a church under the power of the state, but fail to become the social welfare of your congregation. And Jesus said that. Now, everybody can keep stewing and getting all upset. Or some of you are actually wondering, where did Jesus say that? You know, because you actually know me. Be friends with the unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails, you'll be suitable for more righteous habitations. You have to love one another. You have to take care of one another. That's the key. Isn't that what they did when they found themselves in the bondage of Egypt, which is where you are today? They still paid their tally of bricks, but they gleaned in the field at night for their straw, their benefits, to take care of one another. They, according to Philus, they filled each other's water flasks, which were actually Berkey water filters. Their version of a Berkey water filter. They knew the water would be tainted. They knew that there was going to be this red tide in the water, and even in the wells. And so they made Berkey water filters, which is really a ceramic water filter. They made it a little different. It wasn't stainless steel. I mean, it was actually, and we can show you how to make those. That would be a great project. We can get the clay. We should do that. But I don't have enough help. I don't have enough people really working. I mean, when I talk about working, I talk about working. I mean, like 15-hour days, not 4-hour days, not showing up at 10 o'clock and going home at 4, but showing up at 5 and going home at 9. That's a working day. But you got to want to do that. That's the kind of work that you need to be doing. Because the kingdom is a full-time job. And, you know, we're looking for ministers. This is why we're organizing the order group, is we're looking for ministers. We're obtaining land. We've already obtained it. We're on it. We're finishing up things. But we need also to have ministers who want to serve congregations. So we need congregations. So you need to form these congregations. And, you know, I mean, it isn't any different than walking into a church and sitting down in the pew. It's just you're going on record that we're going to start watching each other's back. We're going to start helping one another. We'll start studying together. We'll start doing a few things together. But we're going to start charitable enterprises together. You say, well, we don't need any help. Well, somebody needs help. So let's go out and do the charitable work. That means you guys who have got these good jobs that are in the system and wanting to be free, but you're making this good money, you need to be contributing. We need to be creating these charitable works. Out there, the Red Heifer stuff. You know, the foreign aid outside of our congregation. Nobody in your congregation needs help. You need to be giving help outside that. And we've got some workers ready to go. We need more. But we need the resources to do it. But you see where I'm going with the kingdom of God. You see, what was the weightier matters? Again, law, judgment, mercy, and faith. You need to be exercising that with somebody. Somebody needs help. And so I see requests coming in for people joining the order group. We already have a number of people on it. And I've got emails just sitting there ready to go to start. And I'll have to be putting that together. But I also have to do some, you know, half dozen radio programs a week. And then I have to edit those files and put those files up so that you got them. Then I have to put some rhyme or reason with that. And plus I'm trying to write some books, and I need to be writing more articles with news and views. Yesterday I went out in the field. I'll tell you, people like my sheep stories. So I went out to get the sheep, and we put them in what we call the weekend pen or the Sabbath pen. nobody was watching them. You just put them in that pen, and there was a lot of feed in there that we want to eat up because they're eating up the field that they normally are in, which is a pretty big field. But there's still grass there, but they pick on certain areas. But we're keeping them out of the hay fields until we hay, and we can't hay that field until like the 15th, and there isn't any fence around that, so we can't put them up on the desert side, the mountain side, until the field is hay, because they'll go down into the field. So anyway, all these things are going on. And so I was going to go out and gather them because we're going to shear. We were going to shear today, but now we're going to shear tomorrow. And so I had to go up and gather the sheep. So I went out into that field, and there was a little water leaking into that field, so they were all hanging down there, and it was pretty hot. So I wanted to get them back early because I was expecting a call from Tennessee, which didn't come in. But so you got all these things, you know, you got to be here for this person and be here for that person and go do this. And the sheep were not cooperating. For one thing, when I called them, they did not come. It was so hot, they just stayed back down there near the only water they had. I was had the gate open so they can go to more water, but they didn't come. They just stood there. So I had to walk all the way down and say, come on, let's go. And then they finally started coming. A few of them wanted to go back, but then they came. And this is all on foot, you know, no dogs. Just come, come on, let's go, let's go. And they start coming. And we get out, and there was water they could drink, but some of them were anxious, and they jumped another fence to get into another field where there was more water, rather than go around where we were going to go. And they divided themselves. Some were in the heifer field, some jumped over into the hay field, some ran under this barricade into the spring, and some were moseying around where they were supposed to go. But so you had to go back and pick up the others that were left behind. So you had to let them in through this gate and gather them up and then move them out to this other gate and keep the cows from going through that gate. And so it's all taking hours of time. A lot of time before I was done, there was hours involved. And then I found a lamb that was lost that I didn't know about, that had been separated probably for 24 hours, maybe more, from the other sheep. Got tangled in a piece of wire that got snagged in a bush, and it wrapped around his chest and his back leg, and he couldn't move. He was stuck there, down in a real low ditch, so you couldn't spot him. And you could see that he had been hungry. It had been without food and water for at least a day. And I untangled him and got him loose, and then he didn't know where to go, and then we had to get him with the other sheep and then get him in the field, and now he's all safe. But so we found that sheep because all these other sheep were going where they weren't supposed to go, although we would have seen them when we picked up through that gate. But then we went out to the big gate, out into about 800 acres of ground, trying to get them to come all the way back for shearing. And they started spreading out and going along in a big long line, which is what they're supposed to do. And they were moving along that way. But two sheep were lagging back. One in particular, the ringneck sheep. And this sheep has no wool around its neck at all. It's just, it's bare. It's all rubbed away. Why? Because she sticks her head through the fence to eat grass on the other side. Now, she could be knee-deep in grass on the side that she's at, but she's got to eat the feed on the other side of the fence. It somehow that tastes better. And so she's always sticking her head through the sheep wire fences till the point where she has no wool on her neck, all the way down her neck, big long head sticking out, no wool on her neck, because she's interested in feeding her belly. That is her primary interest in life. And she wants to do it with the best grass, and the grass nobody else can get to. So she's always sticking her head to the fence. There's almost no other sheep like that. There is another sheep that has a little bit of that tendency, and I've spotted her. But this one is incessant. It's obsessive, compulsive behavior. And she kept lagging back. She wanted to eat this grass, and she knew where the other sheep were going, but she was lagging back. So I'm on foot, so I got to walk all the way back. There's a half a mile back to the end of the line of sheep and get her to start coming. Well, then by the time I do that, the other sheep have started moseying over towards the hayfield instead of up towards where they're supposed to go. So then I go and I move them back. And then lo and behold, I look and she's back there again, way back, half a mile back. I have to go get her. Well, I did this about 3 times, and we were getting closer where they needed to be. Once I got them up on the road, they'd go. But they weren't getting there because this lagger, this slacker in the back. And so I have a cell phone. So I called home, and I said, bring a dog. They said, what? I said, bring a dog. We have border collies. And so if you want to know who let the dogs out, I did. So they brought the dog, Clover, and suddenly, and I didn't have to, you know, I called her. They came down the hill a ways. They're still a quarter of a mile away or so, and then they asked, should I let her go? And I said, yeah, let her go. And I called her, and she came running right to me, but she ran around the side of the sheep, and they saw this dog, and suddenly the fear of the Lord was in them because they saw that dog running through the field. They can outrun me. They can't outrun the dog. Used to be I could outrun them, but now I'm getting old. But the dog, and it's what we call a black and white unit, border collie. And suddenly they knew the dog was there. The dog was around, and she stayed with me. And then when I go and I say move over here, they move because they know the next command is get around them. And they have nothing like a dog to put excessive compulsive behavior on the back burners. And today, the people, now how do you relate that story to what you're doing? Well, it shouldn't be very difficult because you guys are scattered flock. Some of you just want to feed your belly. You have a congregation meeting, you just eat. It's not because your heart does not have God in it. It's because you are subject to obsessive compulsive behaviors. You are in a box, in a box, in a box. And we got to let you out of that box. And so I don't have any power to exercise authority. I can't really sick the dogs on you. But the dogs are out there, folks. They're out there listening to every one of your phone calls. They're out there spying on you. They're out there forming their next false flag. They're out there doing their dirty work. They're out there producing money that has no value. Producing food that is toxic. Your GMOs, your poison foods, your processed foods. They are killing you step by step, process by process. You are being processed. You are human resources. And they have the dogs. And they will let the dogs out. And then you will see the reason why you need to come together. Because the dogs are loose. But it may be very late then. You need to start coming together now. You need to start becoming congregations now. You need to start learning how to live by love and faith and hope and the perfect law of liberty by setting your neighbors free, by being there for your neighbor for his benefit. You have to become the benefactors who don't exercise authority. You have to start becoming the government of the people, for the people, and by the people that does not live by the sword. This is what the congregations are. So get on thelivingnetwork.org. Gather with those people. Start supporting the efforts to take care of one another. Start becoming the image of the kingdom in real ways. Don't just play church. Don't just fill out the paperwork. Be the paperwork. Be the testimony of Christ in your actions. on a day-to-day basis. By becoming the social welfare system of Christ, the Corban of Christ, the Corban of the early church that Paul was writing to, that were doers of the word and not hearers only. Start learning what it means to love one another in real ways. Stop coveting your neighbor's goods. Step by step, move in that direction. I know you can't go, you're so far away. You cannot jump from the ship you're on to the rock in one leap. You can't do it. You have to turn around and move in that direction. And some of you are so far away from the rock that you cannot swim it. And there are sharks in the water anyway. You need to make the lifeboats. And the church was the lifeboat of Christ to help you move towards the kingdom and his righteousness. It was a form of government that cast up, that brought you back to the higher form of liberty by giving you the right to choose how you were going to take care of one another, through whom you were going to take care of one another, and by what means you were going to take care of one another. You chose what you were going to give to support your government, because there is another king, who is Christ. And until you have that king as your king and are being his fit subjects by gathering together in his name, you must still continue to abide in the decrees of Caesar. Now, I'm not going to, probably never on these radio programs, although we have some recordings out, am I going to go through the details of how that relates to the kingdom of God, what the early church was doing, and how it relates to what we should be doing today. I will talk about that on the order group. I will talk about that in person at our feasts and festivals. I need to go to the one out in Missouri. I don't know how I can find the time and the funds to do it, but I need to do that. But I also need to finish these books on the altars of blood and friends and strangers. I just only have so much time. But I know that if you start being congregations of record and doing your job, my job will get easier. In some ways it'll get harder. In some ways it'll get easier. And that's what you have to do. Stop sitting there on the bench. Get in the game. Start gathering together. Don't be such a scattered flock. Start getting to know one another and developing those relationships of righteousness. Not just relationships. Not just feel-good relationships. Huggy-feely, touchy-feely relationships. Relationships of righteousness. Of being there for one another. In faith. In hope. In charity. According to the perfect law of liberty, according to the way of Christ in his name. Because you're not doing that now in your churches out there, incorporated or unincorporated. You're just not doing it. Token stuff, that's all I see. And not much of that. They got some nice big screen TVs though. You got some nice sound systems. You got some you out there in the home churches, you got some little intimate home churches, but you're just playing the same game on a smaller scale. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.